Let's move into our study on 1 Thessalonians, and this morning I want to start with a question. If you've been with us for the past, I guess just the past week, this is kind of how I start most sermons, is with a question. And so you don't have to respond to this, but just think in your mind, how do you know that something is healthy? How do you know that something is healthy? So at home, I have two bonsai trees. If you're familiar with bonsai at all, bonsai is not a type of tree, but it is the art of taking care of small trees. So I have two of them at home. One of them is growing. It's doing very well. It seems to sprout a new leaf every day. And part of that might be because I recently repotted it into a larger pot, which I think has given it more space to grow. If you're at all familiar with gardening or taking care of plants, it's probably a good thing to do, I guess. I'm just learning this. But I have another tree, and this tree is not doing well. if you saw it, it's kind of in sad shape. And I think it needs to be repotted, but I've kept putting it off and putting it off. And so it's easy to look at both of those trees, the one that's growing and the one that isn't growing. And it's easy to tell, well, obviously the one that's growing, the one that's doing well, that's got to be the healthy one, right? And we do the same thing with money, right? If I showed you two investment accounts, one that was growing and one that wasn't growing, you would probably say that the one that is growing is the healthy one. And this is how we treat churches too, right? That church is growing, so that church must be healthy. Or this church is shrinking, so they must be doing something wrong. And usually when we're talking about growth in churches, we're talking in terms of numbers, right? We're talking attendance numbers or giving numbers. And I just want to say this morning that when it comes to churches, it's not that simple. Growth isn't the only indicator of health in a church. Well, at least growth in the way that we normally think about it. Other things grow that are unhealthy, right? Weeds in your garden, those grow, right? But are they healthy for your garden? No. Cancer grows, but is cancer healthy? Just because something grows doesn't mean that's necessarily good. And so this morning we'll be continuing in our series in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And in the passage that we'll be looking at today, Paul is talking to the Thessalonian church and he's describing their church, and it's clear from Paul's description that they are a healthy church. But nowhere in the passage does Paul mention their numeric growth. He doesn't mention their attendance or their finances. He only mentions their spiritual growth. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, as we look into your word, we thank you for it. We thank you that you have given us your word and you've given us this passage this morning, and that you've communicated to us what makes a healthy church. So God, I pray that this morning you would help us to maybe rethink the way that we define health. And God, this morning I pray that these would not be my words, but God, that these would be yours. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you haven't already, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you that you can grab. Last week, we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, and then outside of that, we kind of looked at some background in Acts chapter 17. But today, we'll be finishing chapter 1, and so we'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. Today's passage is split into two different parts. The first part is what I've called marks of a healthy church in verses 2 through 5. And in that section, we see Paul just gushing about the good that he sees in the Thessalonian church. And the second part of this sermon is fruit of a healthy church in verses 6 through 10, where Paul, he moves on to encourage not only the good within the church, but the good that is being produced out of the church. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 2 through 5 for us this morning. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. I'll stop reading there. So Paul opens this portion of the letter in verse 2 by saying that he, Silas, and Timothy, these people we learned about their work in the city of Thessalonica last week, they are writing this letter to this church, and they say that they are constantly giving thanks for them, and that they are always mentioning the church in Thessalonica in their prayers. And so this verse, it kind of makes Paul come across as a proud dad, right? This church that he has invested so much in, this is a church that he and others had planted. And unlike some other churches that Paul had influenced, this church in Thessalonica seems to be doing well. And so Paul is thankful for them, almost like a spiritual father, because they have continued on the path that he has set before them. If you've ever done work on a project somewhere and then left that project in the hands of someone else, what you want to hear when you ask how that project is going is that the work has continued and that the project is doing well. When I was in college, I did an internship. And as part of that internship, I was in IT at the time. As part of that internship, I had written a piece of code to automate something that that organization was doing. And I reached out probably a year later to ask, you know, hey, is my code being useful? Is it still working? Is it doing what it was supposed to be doing? And they said back to me, well, we don't really use it anymore. And so that wasn't very encouraging for me. But Paul is greatly encouraged by the work that has continued on from what he has started in Thessalonica. And in verse 3, Paul moves into three things that he wants to highlight that he sees in this church. These are our three marks of a healthy church. And the first mark is what Paul calls their work of faith. This is the idea that the Thessalonians had a working faith. They had a faith that was visible, a faith that was alive. And it's similar to James's teaching on faith that we read in James chapter 2, where he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So for the Thessalonians, this is not a faith that earned their salvation, but a faith that proved their salvation. It would be easy for someone from the outside to look at this church and say, this is a place where people are truly following Jesus, a place where people not only believe in Christ, but they seek to live as he lived. A healthy church has these works of faith. In the academic world, this is what's known as a missional theology. So the idea that God has a mission in the world, And we talked about that mission last week when we talked about God reconciling the world to himself. God is in charge of this mission. God defines this mission, and God accomplishes this mission. But for some reason, unknown to us, he has brought us along to be a part of his mission. And a healthy church is a church that is not sitting idly by, just believing that God will accomplish his mission, but they are showing their belief by joining with God in accomplishing his mission. Are we a church that is known for our works of faith? The second mark of a healthy church is their labor of love. This is the idea that the Thessalonians, they worked hard to love one another because love, true love, is labor, right? It's hard work. This love is more than just a sentiment. It's more than just that fuzzy feeling of warmth. This is the love that Jesus defined in John chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. This love displayed by the Thessalonians is costly. It is sacrificial love, sacrificial in a similar way to God giving his one and only Son on the cross to die so that we might have eternal life in him. And the Thessalonians, they would have had plenty of opportunities to lay down their lives for their friends given the persecution that they faced, which we talked about last week. Genuine love, labor of love, is doing what is best for someone else, even when it doesn't feel good for us. This is why Paul uses the word labor. This isn't easy. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes us pushing through those times when we just want to give up and stop loving someone, right? It's more than just saying, I love you. It's living out, I love you. Douglas John Hall, he puts it this way. Our culture's understanding and use of the phrase, God is love, is frequently a dubious blend of sentimentality and pietism. He goes on to say, and if the cross of Jesus Christ is the apex of God's definition of God's love, then the divine love has very little to do with the love. I like the way that he used the slang term for love there. The love that is passed around so liberally in our contemporary context. A healthy church has this labor of love. Friends, are we a church that is known for our labor of love? The third mark of a healthy church is their steadfast hope in Jesus. The source of the previous two marks is listed here at the end. This steadfast hope is the idea that the Thessalonians possessed a hope for the future that could not be shaken. No matter the circumstances that they faced, no matter the persecution that they had to endure, no matter the obstacles that were in front of them, they did not lose their hope. And this hope was the hope that Jesus had given them. Jesus is the source of hope for his followers. Hope that one day things will get better. Hope that one day Jesus will come back. This is the hope that is promised in Revelation chapter 21, where it says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Doesn't that sound wonderful after some of the prayer requests that were shared this morning? Followers of Jesus, we have this hope that one day things will get better, because we've read the end of the book. We know how the story ends. And this hope for the future helps us to live in the present. A healthy church has a steadfast hope in Jesus. Are we a church that is known for our steadfast hope? And so the three marks of a healthy church, in summary: faith, love, and hope. None of these are passive things, but active traits that are shown in how they are lived out. And so I've been kind of asking as we move through these, but how are we doing in these areas? If we took an assessment of our church, would we be able to identify these marks in us? If we polled people from outside of our church, would they say that they see these things in us? And a church is made up of people, so we can evaluate these things on a broad church level, but on a personal level as well. How are you doing with these things? And I want to encourage you this morning, because I think people would see these things in us. I have seen your works of faith. I have seen your labor of love, and I have seen your steadfast hope in Jesus. I've only been here for 3 weeks, but I've seen these things in you. So be encouraged this morning. Let's celebrate these things together. Let's celebrate that these marks are present in our church. But at the same time, please don't hear an invitation from me to take a break or to stop. Just because these things are present in our church doesn't mean they always will be. And so the challenge for us is to not become content with where we're at, to not become complacent, but to press on, to live these things out more and more. And so Paul closes this section in verses 4 and 5 by reminding the Thessalonian church that they are loved and chosen by God. And this fact is proven in that the gospel was received with them, not only in word, but in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. These marks of a healthy church would not be present here if it weren't for God's Spirit turning the words that were spoken by Paul and Silas into salvation. Receiving the gospel in word would mean just simply hearing it. But receiving it in power and in spirit would have meant that God had opened their hearts to become able to understand it and accept it. No church can become a healthy church without the work of the Spirit. My guess is that at some point in the past, the Holy Spirit had worked in the lives of people here at California. And as a result of the Spirit's work, those marks of a healthy church are present here. And so, as Paul reminds the Thessalonian church, let me remind California church this morning, God loves you, and he has chosen you. And so let's pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to illuminate the gospel for us, but also for anyone who might walk through our doors. So let's move on to our next section for this morning, fruit of a healthy church. Let me read verses 6 through 10 for us. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And so in this section, Paul, he moves on from talking about what he sees within the Thessalonian church, and he moves on to talk about what he sees coming out from them. And I use fruit of a healthy church here in the same way that Jesus used fruit in Luke chapter 6. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And in the same way that this works for people, churches who are made up of people, this works for churches as well. And the fruit of the Thessalonian church, what was produced from them, are four things, four fruit. First, they became imitators of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and of the Lord Jesus. Being produced out of the Thessalonian church was disciples. They were themselves becoming disciples, but they were also making disciples. And I love the word imitators here because that's exactly what discipleship is. Being a disciple is not just learning facts or gaining head knowledge. Being a disciple is living your life after the example that someone else has given you. It is doing what they did. It is saying what they said. It is imitating them. And so this church in Thessalonica became disciples of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And last week we looked at their work, right? We looked at their work from the book of Acts in the city of Thessalonica. And to do what they did and say what they said would have meant continuing to share the gospel in their city, no matter the persecution that they faced. And so Paul, Silas, and Timothy had themselves become disciples of Jesus. And to do what Jesus said, to say what Jesus said, would have meant proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of heaven to the world, no matter the persecution that Jesus faced. Do you see how this works? The Thessalonians were disciples of Paul, Timothy, and Silas, who were disciples of Jesus. So, really, the Thessalonians were themselves disciples of Jesus. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." A healthy church produces disciples. Not disciples of itself, not disciples of the people in that church, but truly, at the end of the day, it produces disciples of Jesus. Are we a church that is known for making disciples of Jesus? The second fruit, they became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Being produced out of this church was an example. The church in Thessalonica was the standard, not in a judgmental way, but in a helpful way. The church in Thessalonica was the perfect example of everything we have talked about already, right? They were receptive to the gospel. They had works of faith, labor of love, steadfast hope in Jesus, joy in the midst of persecution. Simply put, the church in Thessalonica was thriving, not because they didn't have issues. They certainly had issues, but their example was the way that they handled the situation that they were in and the way that they were faithful in the midst of it. Later in his first letter to Timothy, Paul would write, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. The example given by the Thessalonians had gone out to the regions around them. Macedonia and Achaia are the ones mentioned there. And from what we know about those regions, the churches there were struggling. And so the church in Thessalonica, which was doing a good job, could have been an example to those churches. They could have looked there and said, we could be that. We could do that. A healthy church is an example to all believers. Friends, are we a church known for being an example to all? The third fruit, the word of the Lord sounded forth from them to Macedonia, Achaia, and everywhere. Being produced out of this church was the gospel message. Now, I don't think the church in Thessalonica had a really loud speaker propped on top of their building, but what they did have was people, right? They had word of mouth. They had disciples who we talked about earlier, who must have gone out to share the good news with those around them. And it's funny, almost to the point where they were getting in the way of the work that Paul and Silas were doing, right? It says that Paul and Silas didn't need to say anything at times because the Thessalonians had already reached people. A healthy church sounds forth the gospel, not only to the surrounding area, but to the world. Are we a church that is known for sounding forth the gospel? The last fruit, they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They practiced repentance. Being produced out of this church in Thessalonica was transformed lives. And this life transformation was a result of their repentance. People, they turned away from their former lives. They turned away from what they used to live for and what they used to worship. And they turned to God to live for Him and to worship Him. And this would not have been easy for them. Turning away from their idols would have meant social rejection. Families, friends would have distanced themselves from them. But the only way that we ever break free from something that has deep roots in our lives is to turn to something better. And the people in the Thessalonian church would have realized that Jesus is better. And their lives were transformed as a result. And so Paul closes in verse 10 and he points back to verse 3. He closes by saying that part of this life transformation seen in the Thessalonian church includes waiting for Jesus to come back and putting our hope in Him. A healthy church is a place where people are having their lives be transformed. A place where people are turning from idols and they're choosing to serve the living God. Are we a church known for this kind of life transformation? And so in summary, the fruit of a healthy church, disciples being produced, serving as an example, sounding forth the gospel, and life transformation. Are those things the things you think about when you think of a healthy church? As I said at the beginning of the sermon, so often we think about healthy churches as the churches that are growing, right? Growing in numbers and growing in finances. How many of those things did Paul mention in this passage? Nowhere did Paul applaud the Thessalonian church for the number of people that attended their Sunday morning worship service. Nowhere did Paul celebrate their financial stability or the success of their last capital campaign. Paul, he does celebrate their growth, but he celebrates their spiritual growth. He celebrates their faith, their love, and their hope. A healthy church is a church that is growing spiritually. And yes, sometimes spiritual growth, a result of spiritual growth, is numerical growth. But that's not always the case. What about the church that focuses on church planting and regularly sends off half of its members to go and plant another church? Well, that's a 50% loss, right? How could that be good? That must be bad. But it's a win for the kingdom. And so this morning, I want us to rethink the way that we think about what is a healthy church. California can be a healthy church, and maybe health will look like growth in numbers. But if we focus on spiritual growth, maybe that will come. So this morning I want to ask, what kind of church do we want to be? How do we want to grow? Do we want numbers and finances, or do we want to grow in faith, love, and hope? Let me pray for us. Father, this morning you have given us an example of a healthy church. And God, this morning, may you encourage us by the health that we see in our church. But God, at the same time, may we also see the ways in which we need to grow. God, may we not feel guilty, ashamed, burdened by this, but may this encourage us to grow in our faith, our love, and our hope. God, may we be the church that you want us to be. And in the coming weeks, as we continue through this series, may you reveal to us just exactly how we do that. God, may we trust in you all the way. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.